And I'll finish that thought in 1 minute. But as promised, we are joined by a safety for the Baltimore Ravens. He is entering his sixth NFL season, coming off a big year, 56 tackles, 2.5 sacks. He had a pick and a forced fumble. He led all defensive backs in tackles for a loss in 2016 with 13. He was undrafted out of 2013 in 2013 out of Oklahoma. Ravens open up their season against Buffalo on September 9th. Tony Jefferson is my guest. Tony, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing, John?
Good. Tony, let's go right to the really important stuff, man. Like the real hot, controversial stuff right off the top. I've got to get your thoughts on your golf game. How is your golf game these days? How are you swinging them?
I've progressed really well, actually. Took me a while. I was renting out golf clubs, you know, my first couple times golfing, but made a trip to Dick's Sporting Goods, got my own clubs, and I got my first birdie a week and a half ago, so getting good.
I got to know, man. So where did you get that first birdie? What track, and what did it feel like?
It was at the Black Mountain golf course in San Diego. It was a par five, so my first shot, off the tee, I nailed it probably around almost 300 yards off the tee, so that helped me out big time with my other shots. I felt like I'm ready after that one.
Tony Jefferson, my guest, how long was the putt?
Well, I actually got caught in a bunker, in the sand bunker, and I just freestyled out the sand bunker, and I hit it out, and it hit the greens, and it rolled down to about literally 2 feet from the hole, so I got lucky there.
Dude, a sand save, birdie putt, man. Something like that happens, and you feel like you got it. You got it. Now I'm ready to roll. But that's golf, man. You know better, right? Like, you don't have it. You know it's golf. Right when you think you've got it all figured out, you know it's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Oh, yeah. Got me the next day.
Exactly. Tony Jefferson, my guest. Like I said, we had to get the important stuff out of the way off the top. All right. Also, you recently hosted your annual 7-on-7 tourney at your alma mater, Eastlake High School in Chula Vista. What did you make of the tournament and the players that were on display?
Oh, we had a great turnout. Had 10 teams there. It was kind of a rough spot because during that time, there was so many other tournaments going on around the area. So I was really appreciative of the teams who did come out. I was competitive, came down to the wire in our last game. Obviously, the winner of the tournament got $10,000 to go towards their athletic department. So, it was a real good turnout, very competitive.
And Tony, you're established now in the NFL. So what's it like when you go back to Eastlake, and what kind of memories do you have of your time there?
Even when you just said it, this being my sixth year, I kind of, raised my eyebrow. It kind of went really fast. Being the fact that I am only 26 years old, I kind of feel young, but at the same time, football years, I feel pretty old. So it feels good to go back home, especially to Eastlake, where it all started, basically. I was the running back there, so. When I touched that field, I just remember running all over the field and running people over, running by people. So, good memories.
Tony Jefferson, my guest. Listen, I always like talking to you because you're a guy that will keep it real. You're a guy who's honest. And last season ended in a brutal way with that loss to Cincinnati. And you were pretty emotional after that game, talking about how that was your favorite team that you've ever been on and how appreciative you were of the team bringing you to Baltimore. What was it about that particular team that made it so special?
Just the ups and downs that we went through. I mean, we had a tough little stretch in the beginning, but we prevailed pretty good. I think just putting ourselves in the position that we did at the end of the season, being able to be able to have the opportunity to make the playoffs, and I wanted it so bad for everybody on the team to be able to be with us and do that for what we did. We made a nice run at the end of the season to put ourselves in a position to do that. And then for the season to end the way it did, I was heartbroken. I didn't have any words to really say at the moment. But for the guys who are back, I think they felt kind of how I felt. And we're hungry, hungrier, obviously, for this year. And can't wait to get on the field.
Hey, Tony, can you express what it's like? For instance, I think a lot of the audience has never played football. much less at this level. You know, we all go to work, and sometimes you work with people you like and people you respect. Sometimes you work with people you don't like and you don't respect. So is there any way to describe what it's like to do what you do? I mean, as physical as it is, as demanding as it is mentally and emotionally, where you're putting yourself out there and literally taking your life into your own hands every single time you do it for your job, and then to pay that price physically and emotionally with guys that you respect so much, what's it like? What kind of a bond results from something like that?
Yeah, I think it's a hidden figure that gets lost in the game is how close you become with the guys that you grind every, you see them every day, and you pretty much, for the most part, you live with those guys, because you're at the facility and you're out traveling more with them during this particular time of the year, with them more than you are with your family, and they really become family. You see the same faces every day. And like you said, we're all out there sacrificing and, you know, giving up our time, giving up our bodies for this one game that we love. And where some would say it's just a bunch of people just chasing a pigskin. But to us, it's much more than that. There's so much more that goes into it, including all the film work and everything that we do for the game. So it's definitely something sentimental, you know, for everybody in the league.
Baltimore Ravens safety Tony Jefferson joining us here in the jungle. During the offseason, the league made changes to the policy regarding the use of helmets in a tackle. So now a player is going to face a 15-yard penalty and possible ejection if he lowers his head and makes contact with his helmet against the opponent. You know that rule. What do you make of that change?
Man, I'm not changing the way I'm playing and how I've been playing. So I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm not going to be out there concerned about how to hit anybody. I've been playing football for a long time, and I've never had the intent on hurting anybody or doing any of that. So I'm going to continue to play football the way I play. They'll call it how they call it. Obviously, I don't know how they're going to call it. I mean, if you're in the trenches, obviously, sometimes you're going to use your top of your helmet sometimes. So I don't know how they're going to call it, but I'm not going to let that slow me down.
Tony Jefferson joining us. You know, when you talk about, I don't know how they're going to call it. I've had a number of defensive guys say, all right, fine. The rule is fine if they enforce it on offensive players too, because, you know, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, even a quarterback will drop their head to initiate contact. Do you think it's going to be equally enforced between offensive and defensive players, or do you think the refs are just going to focus on defensive players?
Well, it has to, I think personally it needs to go both ways. I mean, I don't understand how one side can lower the head and the other side can't. If you're going to call it fair. Or I just think it's just going to impose a bunch of more problems that the league doesn't need.
We're talking to Tony Jefferson. Tony, let me just talk basketball for a minute. I know you've been watching the NBA Finals. I know because I've seen you tweet about them. What do you make of the first two games of the NBA Finals?
You know, the series should be 1-1 right now. You know, so a couple bonehead plays. Everybody wants to get on J.R. Smith, but George Hill's just got to make that free throw. They're free. Make them. You got to make those. So, this one, it should be 1-1, but it's 2-0 right now, Warriors. But like I've said before, I mean, the Celtics were up 2-0 on the Cavs. I'm not saying the Celtics and the Warriors are the same, but, you know, this series don't technically start until a team wins a road game. So, we'll see tonight. But I do think that the Cavs have been playing the Warriors a lot tougher than most people have thought. And they have a lot of people on the edge of their seats, more than people may have thought they would have. So I think the Cavs can pull out these next two, then we've got ourselves a really tough series.
Like I said, you're paying attention. You know, that point you made about George Hill, I mean, J.R. Smith has taken a lot of heat here and everywhere else, and I think that George Hill, to a certain extent, is skating because he didn't make that second free throw. But what about J.R.? Like, have you seen that video that got out the last couple of days where Bron is on the bench and he's not saying anything, and now everybody's coming for LeBron saying, come on, man, you got to pick your guys up? I mean, if you're a teammate, how would you handle a situation like that? I mean, is it LeBron's job to pick up J.R. or George Hill, or really is there nothing you can say at that point?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you got to – come on. You thought the game was like, pay attention to the game. What do you mean? What do you expect for LeBron to do? I mean, you understand the magnitude of the game. You understand the magnitude of the series. And to be able to possibly go up in the game and possibly win the game for him, I mean, he was frustrated at the time. You want a pat on the back. I mean, we're all grown men. If you're on that court, you need to know every situation. You need to know what situation you're in. You need to know what would happen with whatever you do before the play even happens. So that's all on JR. You don't need a pat on the back. I don't understand that argument with people saying so.
I don't either.
There ain't no time to feel sorry for people.
There ain't no time to feel
sorry. Finals.
The NBA Finals. Grown men playing in the NBA Finals. That's no time to feel sorry for anybody. Tony, you mentioned you're 6 years in, and it's going fast, and you know what your body feels like. I'm not saying that the NFL is the NBA, but you're 6 years in, and then you see LeBron doing what he's doing 15 years in. Is there any doubt in your mind that he's the greatest of all time?
No, he's the greatest of all time. He's playing the best basketball now of his career, in my opinion, now, in year 15. Just his work ethic, everything he does, what he does to keep up with his body. The dude didn't even come out of a game, you know, playing 48 minutes. I mean, come on now. At 33 and 15 years in, yeah, there's nobody. He's a machine, and there's nobody that's ever going to, I think, come close to what he's done and what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, thing is, though, I'm not sure that he's ever had his own box of donuts on National Donut Day the way that you did with your face on them. Look, I know you're not playing the game for selfish reasons and personal honors, but, dude, is there a greater honor than having a donut with your face?
Man, shout out to Dunkin' Donuts for making the Tony Jefferson donut. That just goes to show I'm the real 23.
You are, dude. Dude, you are living the best life, man. You've got your own donut. You got your first bird this week. Got another shot with the Ravens. You are living your best life. Breaking down the NBA Finals on a big radio show. Tony, I appreciate you, man. Always good to have you on the show. That's why I love doing that interview, Tony. Great to have you back.
Yeah. Much love. Appreciate it, man.
You're the best, man. Much love. Tony Jefferson. If you need him, and I do. Tony Jefferson, Baltimore Raven. Donuts. My man Delonte, jungle legend, Delonte West. My thanks to Tony Jefferson. That was a blast. There's so many good interviews on the Ravens. I love the Ravens. The jungle loves the Ravens.